I want to begin today by giving you my title. The title of today's message is Compete to Win. Compete to Win. I think as I go through this message today, you'll understand why I chose that title. Brethren, as you and I approach Passover, it's more important than ever that we reflect on and measure our growth, our spiritual growth. Where are we in our race? Where are we in our competitions? Where are we? Are we making progress? Are we falling behind? Are we better people, so to speak, than we were last year? Where exactly are we in these competitions? You know, the Bible describes our spiritual journey as a challenge, a challenge. And we'll see that here in a few minutes. In many ways, it's a competition. So I'll ask the question again. How are you doing in your competitions? How are you doing? Don't you hate it when you just can't read your own notes? So today, brethren, I want to go over a few points, and they're really not points, but there are some things that we all need to really look at. We need to measure. Are we increasing in these attributes, or are we lagging in these attributes? Again, looking at life as a challenge, as a competition, because it is. Are you and I pursuing righteousness? Are we growing in righteous character? Are we growing? Are you and I growing in righteous character? Are we better than we were? Are we better today than we were yesterday? That's questions we need to ask ourselves. So, have we grown since last year, the last Passover season? Have we grown in God's truth? Or are we increasing our knowledge of God and His ways, His laws? Now, I was going to turn there, but I won't turn there for the sake of time today because I see I've got less than I expected. But John 8, and you can write this down, John 8, verses 31 and 32. And it talks about growing in God's truth and also talks about prayer, being constant in prayer. Now, it doesn't matter what position you pray in. But are we there? Do we do it? Do we do it every day? Do we pray to God every day? Are we maintaining our relationship with God? Or do we fall short sometimes? You also might want to write down Romans 12:12. Now, have we grown in faith? Is our faith increasing today? Are we growing in faith? Because faith is critical to our spiritual growth. It really is. Have we grown in love? Have we made progress loving others? That's a tough one. It really is. It's a tough one. This world we live in, it's hard to love everybody around you. But yet, guess what? Jesus Christ did, and He was our example. Now, this is one of the toughest ones for me when I start measuring my patience. Are we growing in patience? That's a tough one. Do we have less anger today than we did last year? Do we have more anger? Are we grumpy? What's the deal? Now, another question we can ask ourselves, and again, we're measuring these as we go through them, and only you can measure yourself. I can't measure how you're growing. I can't measure it. I can only take responsibility for myself, and you too. Are we growing in godliness? Godliness. Godliness, it's vital. Are we actively looking for ways to help other people? Are we doing that? Are we good examples to those around us? Do we try to be a good example? Do we try to shine the light of God? That's what we're supposed to be doing. Now, here's another good question. Are we growing in gentleness? That's what it is, gentleness. I can read these notes. Are we growing in gentleness? Are we a kinder person? Are we a nicer person than we were last year? Do others think of us? And I want you to think about this hard. Do others, if they described you, would they describe you as gentle? You know, we know the Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth. You know, come on. We need to be growing in gentleness. Now, let's sum it all up. In Galatians 5, and we're not going to turn there, Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, talks about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Now, the big question here is, are we showing the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Do others see the fruits of the Holy Spirit in you and I? Or are we just pretending? Now, here's the bottom line, and this is where this message is going. Are we making progress, or are we falling behind? And that's spiritually speaking. This is a spiritual competition we're in. This is a spiritual challenge we're all involved in. You know, it's important that we know where we are in life's competition. That's the only way we can determine whether we're making positive progress. That's what we need to be doing. You know, I want to tell you a story. It's kind of funny. This was a long, long time ago. I was in the seventh grade in junior high school. I was on the track team. And I had my event. My event was the 100-yard dash. Man, I was fast. I'm here to tell you. I felt like no one could beat me in the 100-yard dash. Now, when you're talking about track, there's all kinds of different competitions. There's a long jump. There's a quarter of a mile. Well, here's the deal. If you would have asked or challenged me to a quarter mile race, I'm going to give up already. I'll run you a 100-yard dash in a second. But bottom line is a quarter of a mile, I did not have the endurance. I get about halfway around. Man, I couldn't even talk. And you see these other guys we need endurance. And sometimes, brethren, you and I, we run in circles. We run our race in circles. And we're chasing our tail. It's like, have you ever seen a dog chasing his tail? Sometimes we chase our own tail. And we run around in circles. Well, God the Father and Jesus Christ are challenging you and me, all of us, to run a race. Not just to run a race, but also to fight a fight. Think about it. Now, who's the opponent? Well, Satan and his demons are the opponents. This world is an opponent. Sometimes, as I just mentioned, we are our own opponent. But it's still a challenge. And I want you to think about it as a competition. You and I are always competing in one way or another. We really are. We're competing. We wake up in the morning and we are competing. We need to compete to win, as the title of this message indicated. Today, brethren, we're going to look at some of the fights we fight, and especially the race we run. We're going to look at the challenges we have in this life. Now, life is a challenge. You might want to call it this. Life is the challenge. It is the challenge. I mean, there's a lot we're going to go through here today. The Bible talks about running a race or engaging in a fight. It also talks about a battle. We just heard that in one of the hymns. To when we battle our foe, when we battle every foe, we're in a battle. We're engaging in a fight. We're running a race. That's what the Bible tells us we're doing. It also talks about trials and tribulations all of us will go through in our life. How do we do all these things at the same time? How do we go through these battles, all these struggles? You know, these are all challenges we face every day. I want you to think about it, okay? So running a race, when you're running a race, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. If we're in a fight or a battle, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. Now, contending with the trials and tribulations of this life, I think that's a really big challenge, wouldn't you? It's a really big challenge. How do we endure these challenges and still win the fight? How do we finish the race and still go through all of these trials and tribulations? You know, I was thinking about it hard when I put this message together. It really doesn't matter how bad you hurt. Really doesn't. Doesn't matter how stiff your knees are. Now, I know my wife, she's had both of her knees done, so hopefully her knees aren't as stiff as they once were. But we can all think, you know, some of us have had hip replacements. Some of us have had other serious medical procedures performed. We're not the people we were when we were children. You know, we physically, as we get older, we start falling apart. How do we endure our race, our fight? How do we win in this condition? Well, the Bible tells us. You know, there's a prize we're all competing for. And this is the beauty of God's plan. All of us are competing for the same prize. What is that prize? That prize is the crown of life. That prize is eternal life. Think about that. We don't know what that means. We really don't. We hear it. We read about it. But what is eternal life? Wow, it means no death. God says no more tears, no more pain. This is what we are competing for. We are competing for a prize, eternal life. Greatest prize ever. Now, he also promised us that we'll, in the millennium, we'll be kings and priests. Well, we'll be kings and priests in the millennium and beyond. What is beyond the millennium? We don't know. We really don't know. But we know it's incredible. Let's turn over to our first real scripture today, and that's in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. I'm going to stay there for a few minutes. I'll find it here. There we go. Hebrews 12. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And it says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us run with endurance. So endurance is what it takes to run the race. Endurance. We've got to have endurance. Looking unto Jesus, verse 2, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We heard about this a little bit in the sermonette today. Jesus Christ was the first one to finish the race. He was the first one to win the fight. He did it. He's sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God right now. Where are we in our race? Where are we in our fight? Are we winning? Are we breaking even? Are we getting tired? Where are we? It's, again, up to each one of us to look inside ourselves, especially this time of year, and determine, where are we? Are we making enough progress? Now, keep your hands or your fingers here in Hebrews, and I'd like to turn over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6, there it is. Verse 11, but you, O man of God, that's all of us. We're O man of God. Flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Sound familiar? We just talked about this. Verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Why? Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Who are those many witnesses? I want you to think about this as well. Those are the people we associate with. Those are the people that see us. Those are the many witnesses. We preach by our example. You know, we're not obnoxious about getting people's faces. We talk to people who want to hear about God's truth, and we share it with them. We are witnesses. Now, let's go back over to Hebrews again. And now we're going to read verse 3, Hebrews 12, verse 3. And we got to remember, Jesus Christ showed us how to win the fight. Jesus Christ showed us how to run the race. Verse 3, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. What happens when we become weary? We slow down. Man, it's time to take a break. I'm looking for a park bench, you know? I mean, we become tired. We become weary. It hurts. Verse 4, you have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. Again, that's little s, that's us, sons. We're all sons, potential sons. Then it goes on to say, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. Now listen to this. Verse 7, if you endure chastening, sounds like a challenge to me. If you endure chastening, it's a challenge. We've got to take on that challenge. We've got to endure the chastening of God. Guess what? We're all going to have chastening. If we are truly part of what God has called, chastening is just part of the deal. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? God challenges all those who he calls to endure to the end. Endure to the end. We read that several times throughout the Bible. Endure to the end. Matthew 10, verse 22, if you want to write it down. I don't know about you. Well, I'm pretty sure I do. I want to be called the Son of God, a Son of God. I want to hear that one day. I want to know what's on the other side. I want to know what's part of God's kingdom. I want to know. And I'm going to do anything to find it. It's all about endurance. When we're running a race, when we're fighting a fight, when we're wrestling, whatever the case may be, it's about endurance. You know, when I tried to run my quarter mile, I just didn't have the endurance. We can't do that. Actually, I need to go back over here. I want to share a couple of definitions for you. And these are definitions from what we just read. And the first one is rebuke, to rebuke. Now, to rebuke means to express sharp, stern disapproval of, to reprove or reprimand. It's what God promises to do to all that are his, to rebuke us. He does this when we do things wrong. So rebuking is stern disapproval of. God will do that. It says so right here. Another definition. This one is kind of interesting. That's the word chasten. The word chasten. God chastens all of us, right? What's the definition? To inflict suffering upon for the purpose of moral improvement. To inflict suffering upon for the purpose of moral improvement. To chastise. That's where the word chastise comes from. This is what God's going to do. And from the British dictionary, the word chasten, to bring to a state of submission, to subdue, to tame. God's trying to tame us. He's trying to get us under control, to discipline or correct by punishment. God does punish us. When we're doing things wrong, it says so in right there in Hebrews 12, that every son that he calls or brings to him, he's going to chasten. Now, there's one more word. And this is an ugly word. I really don't like even the sound of it. And that word is scourge. Scourge. To whip or lash, especially for the infliction of punishment. And it goes on to say here, or torture. I really don't think God is torturing any of us. But there's times we're going to have to be disciplined. And that's what God does. That's what God does. He's challenged us to endure the chastening until the end. Wow. No, I know, I'm going to speak for myself, I don't like to be corrected. I don't like people telling me I've done something wrong. And no one likes to hear that. I'm sure you're the same way. In fact, I know you are. Excuse me. Start turning over to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. We're only going to read one scripture here. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we do not struggle, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. I want you to think about this. We don't see our enemy. You know, here we are fighting, here we are wrestling, but we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, things we can see and touch necessarily. We wrestle against Satan and his demons. Sometimes, brethren, you and I just simply need to endure. And it's just keep going. Now, I want to read something I found on the church's website. And some of you may have heard of Mario Siegley. He wrote something, and this is quite a few years ago, called Courageous Olympic Moments. And there's some pretty inspirational things that I found in there. Berlin, Germany, 1936. This was supposed to be the Olympics that showcased Adolf Hitler's boast of Aryan supremacy in athletics. He wanted to show the world how the German master race would excel in athletic prowess to the detriment of the other races. Tragically, in just 3 years' time, this mindset would help trigger the catastrophe of World War II. Well, the last time I spoke, we briefly touched some of the devastation of World War II, the greatest war of all time. Goes on to say, however, Jesse Owens, you may have heard of his name, Jesse Owens. Jesse Owens was quite the opposite of what Hitler had in mind about the supposed master race. Jesse Owens was an African-American. He was the son of a poor sharecropper and the grandson of a slave. So he wasn't far removed from being a slave himself. He was definitely not the pampered Aryan athlete or part of an elite group. Yet during those Olympics, and in spite of all the psychological pressure exerted against him, he did the seemingly impossible. What did he do? He blew past the track and field competitors, including all those of Aryan stock, and won 4 gold medals. Jesse Owens became the fastest human being on the planet and proved it by winning the 100-meter sprint, the 200-meter dash, the 400-meter relay team race, and the long jump. It was a feat unequaled for 48 years until another African-American, Carl Lewis, was able to repeat it in 1984. What a courageous achievement in front of the assembled hostile leadership. Think about that. We got hostilities running all around us. We got people that ask us, why do you observe the Sabbath day? Isn't that hard? I mean, everybody goes to church on Sunday. Yeah, well, I'm not everybody. So it finishes up by saying Hitler had definitely been humiliated. Brethren, we need to humiliate Satan. We need to endure. We need to move forward. We need to have the same attitude in our competitions as Jesse Owens, as Carl Lewis. 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. Verse 24 says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we," you and I, "we do it for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run, not with uncertainty, not with lack of faith. I'm doing it because I have faith in God. Jesus Christ showed me how to win this race, right? But for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight." We're fighting here too, as well. "Not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into submission, lest when I have preached to others, I myself might be disqualified." Brethren, lack of hope, lack of faith, that'll stop us in our tracks. That'll take away our endurance if we don't have these major ingredients to help us move on. Now, I'll read this from my notes. Revelation 2 in verse 10. Revelation 2, verse 10, says, "Do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer." There's a lot more coming down the pipe. We're not in the tribulation right now. We live way too good to even be considered the tribulation. Yeah, things are getting bad out there. They're going to get a lot worse. They're going to get a lot worse. And we need to have the endurance to make it. That's just what we have to have. Anyway, back to Revelation 2, verse 10. "Do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison, that you may be tested, that we may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. It says, be faithful." Take this as a challenge. Take this as a challenge, because that's what it is. "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life," the crown of life. Take this as a challenge. That's what it is. Now, I want to read another event. This is also from the Olympics, but it's moving forward. This is Montreal, Canada. Montreal, Canada, 1976 Olympics. It says, "The men's gymnastic competition was a close contest between the Soviet and Japanese teams. The overall team score on the last day would determine the winners. Then disaster struck the Japanese team. Shun Fujimoto, one of the key gymnasts, shattered his kneecap during the floor competition." Now, I know there's people in here, more than just my wife, but there's other people that have had knees replaced, hips replaced, things that. It's, man, to have a broken kneecap, that would just hurt. The pain was excruciating, yet taking pain medication would disqualify him. He couldn't be replaced, and withdrawing would most likely mean the Japanese team would lose the competition. On top of this, Shun had to get a high score on the rings for the team to have any chance at all in winning the gold medal. Well, as he was helped up to reaching the rings, the pain was shooting from his kneecap, his injured kneecap. Yet he knew the worst was still to come. At the end of his performance, he would have to do a flip and then land some 7 feet below, all with a broken kneecap. Think about that. I mean, it hurts just considering what he is going through. Now, not wanting to disappoint his team or his nation, he grit his teeth and withstood the pain. He swung one final time from the rings, flipped in the air, and made a clean landing on both feet. And then his injured knee buckled. But he remained standing and was given a decent score. His team won the gold medal, largely due to Fujimoto's courage in the face of seemingly unbearable pain. Sometimes, brethren, you and I go through unbearable pain. Sometimes, as I mentioned before, we just need to grit our teeth and bear it, especially when we're running. In fact, actually, when we're running, We're going through trials. We're going through tribulation. Everything hurts. What do we do? Well, I don't know about you, but I get cranky. I mean, I get kind of hard to deal with. You know, this is what happens. This is what happens when we're running a race. You know, we get winded, and man, it hurts. It hurts. Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. Romans 5, verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation, what does it do? Produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that was given to us. The Holy Spirit. Wow. So we've got faith, hope, Holy Spirit. Well, we can throw in love, and really we got quite the combination, don't we? This is what God wants us. Are you starting to see a trend? How do we become able to withstand the race and you know, not fall down during the fight? Hope and faith are two of the main tools that we have to endure. Philippians 3 and verse 12. Philippians 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, I forget those things that are behind me, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Now, I want you to consider this. When you're running a race, and you're in competition, you're running, when you get to the finish line, what does a runner do? They reach forward. They try to cross that finish line before the next guy. They try to win. They do everything they can to win. That's what we need to be doing. Then continuing in verse 14, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Verse 15, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if any of you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, verse 16, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. We're all competing together. This is the beauty of the race we're part of. You're running. I'm running. We're all running for the same prize. We're all going to get the same prize. Win. We're all going to get it at the same time. Now, this is the last section in the article by Mr. Siegley, and it's in a section called The Need to Persevere with Our Eyes Fixed on the Goal, and it explains 1 Corinthians 9. Kind of explains it a little bit. Paul uses another illustration of a runner who focuses on the finish line. He says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. We've already read this in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Unlike the modern-day Olympic Games, where runners-up are awarded a prize, in the ancient games, only the winners received a crown. Only the winners. There's only one prize. No second place, no silver medal, no bronze medal. So coming in first meant everything. You have to win. That was the only way you were going to obtain your crown. Now, in the Isthmian Games, those were the games in Corinth back in Paul's day. That was the games that he was describing. In the Isthmian Games, those who won the competition were awarded a wreath of wild celery. Wow. Wild celery, or of pine as the prize. Paul referred to this as a perishable crown that was insignificant compared to winning the imperishable crown. Eternal life. Eternal life. That's what that crown is. That's 1 Corinthians 9:25. And again, we've already read that. Now, changing gears just a little bit, I did mention we get worn out sometimes. We get tired. We get grumpy. We get kind of hard to deal with. How do we avoid those issues? How do we just continue to pump ourselves with endurance, pace ourselves so we're making forward progress all the time? Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 14. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Okay, there's something else we can also look at. How bright is your light? How bright is your light? How bright's my light? Are we shining the light to the world? Verse 16, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. We don't want to do this for naught. We've got to run for a purpose, run for a reason, run to win. That's what we're called to do. You know, we run our individual races, but we all run together as a team. And we're all going to be winners. It's not a first place, second place, third place. It's winning the race that matters. There's only one prize, and that's the crown of life. Other places it calls it the crown of righteousness. Any way you slice it, any ways we dice it, it's eternal life. It's eternal life. Hebrews 11, verse 39 and 40. I'll read this from my note. Verse 39, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. So there's a lot of people that came before us. They haven't got their prize yet. They're not going to get it until you get it, until I get it. We're all going to get it at the same time. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. It's a spiritual competition, brother, not physical. Now, I'm going to start winding down here just a little bit because I got a little bit of a stiff neck. When we're competing against the world, when we're competing against Satan, when we're competing against ourselves, again, we become grumpy. We become angry. We got to compete without an attitude. We really do. And I'm just going to start winding down with a few verses that talks about our attitude, how we are. Proverbs 9, verse 11. You don't have to turn there. It says, a fool vents all of his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Don't be fools. Be wise. James 1, verse 19 and 20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Brethren, as we started this message today, we're to pursue righteousness. Are we gaining on it? Or have we grasped righteousness? Where are we in that battle, in that struggle? Where are we? James 1 and verse 12 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the prize, the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. That's us. We need to be reaching for that crown. You know, it's not a slow race. We need to be reaching. We need to be just reaching for it. When you and I run our race, we're competing for eternal life. What better prize is there? What better prize is there? We run towards our crown, towards our prize. We fight against temptation. We do. We fight against temptation. We fight against ourselves. We wrestle against Satan and his demons. The last scripture I'm going to turn to, and I'll close with this, is 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4. Helps to give you the area. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, and I'm going to read verses 7 and 8. Verse 7, I have fought the fight, fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Brethren, this is what you and I need to be wanting to do, is fight the good fight, to finish the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a prize, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Not to me only, not to me only, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. That's all of us. That's our prize. We can't do anything but win. There's no other option. Oh, there is, but we don't even want to consider that. We need to have hope. We need to have faith. We need to grow in hope, grow in faith, grow in righteousness, grow in all the attributes of Jesus Christ. Brethren, we simply need to compete to win. Hopefully this was beneficial.